The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage, segment number 5, here on the 13th of February, 2023. Let's go to the courtroom.
The jury is present, sir.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Yes, sir, Your Honor. May I please court?
Dr. Reamer, before we took a break, we were obviously discussing the very catastrophic injuries from that second shotgun wound to Paul, and that would have been immediately fatal. Is that correct?
Yes.
Let me ask you this very quickly. Do you see any evidence of any defensive wounds on Paul?
No, I did not.
Can you describe quickly what a defensive wound is and then explain why you see none of those particular areas for this?
Yes. So, a defensive wound is, sometimes somebody might sustain injuries that suggest that they had their hands or arms up while trying to defend themselves from from what is about to happen. And I don't see anything on his hands that would indicate, he had his hands up to his face in anticipation of the injury that was about to happen. So.
And in your expert opinion, as you described to the jury before, his arm was down for that first shot.
Yes. So that first shot, his arm was down, and I don't see any evidence of injury to his hands from the second wound.
And then that abrasion on his face is consistent with that second shot and him just having terminal collapse.
Right. So. Falling to the ground, hitting the right side of his face on the ground, with a little bit of forward movement, so we got that kind of linearity, and that would be consistent with collapsing to the ground after it's very frequently people, you know, after sustaining any kinds of disabling injuries, if they're standing up, they're going to fall, just gravity. And so he fell, and he was face down at the time, so he had a scrape on the cheek, which is the surface of his body that impacted the ground.
What were toxicology results on Paul, if any? Anything that he might have had in his system?
Oh, yes. So every person that has an autopsy at MUSC, and everybody gets a full toxicology testing done. MUSC does not actually perform toxicology, but toxicology was sent to a toxicology lab that tests for any possible substances that may be in the blood, and the only thing he had in the blood at the time of his death was caffeine.
No alcohol or drugs.
No alcohol or drugs. It was negative.
Were you able to reach any conclusion about the order in which Paul suffered these shotgun blasts?
Okay. Well, in my opinion, based on my education and experience, the first shotgun wound, the initial shot was to the chest, following which he remained standing and sustained the other gunshot wound to the top of the left shoulder and head. If we think about it, well, is it possible that the other one was first? It just kind of defies logic, right? So if he got that one first on the left shoulder and through his head, we know that one sent him to the ground. So he fell to the ground, hit the right side of the face. How is he possibly going to get that one to the front of the chest? So it's just hard to imagine a scenario in which the shotgun wound to the head was first.
Let's move now, if we can, to Maggie Murdoch. And you did her autopsy as well as you described with the jury. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
All right. And how many gunshot wounds, just very quickly, did you observe on Maggie?
So she sustained a total of 5 gunshot wounds from a minimum of 4 shots. So it could have been from 4 shots with 5 wounds or 5 separate shots. And I will explain once we do that.
Right. I have what's been marked as States 501. And again, this is another diagram that would assist you in explaining the injuries.
Yes, so this is the female, the woman diagram. And and this is what I used to take notes while I performed the autopsy.
All right, if you would step down, please, and walk over here, and we'll do the same procedure with Maggie. If you start out by writing her name at the top, and then put the left and right on there, too, to aid us in understanding.
Okay.
All right. And let me do this just very quickly. I apologize. And going back to States 500, and this is Paul, is that correct?
Yes.
And you had an arrow right here kind of showing the direction of shot number one, is
yes.
that right? Can you do an arrow for shot number
sure.
two, please? Right. And, Your Honor, this time I'd move States 500 into evidence for demonstrative purposes. Or move it into evidence. I mean.
Is he going to just use it for demonstrative purposes, or is he moving it into evidence?
I'm moving it into evidence, Your Honor.
No objection.
To admit it without objection.
All right, going back to 501, this would be Maggie, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, if you could start to detail the injuries that you observed to Maggie and what is the most probable order based on your review
okay.
of the evidence?
Well, first of all, this was a different weapon. It was not a shotgun with wadding and pellets. These injuries that Maggie sustained were they're completely consistent with an assault rifle. Okay, so it's a different weapon. And I'm going to go through the five wounds, and then we'll think about how I'll try to explain my opinion as to the likely order, just sort of like we figured out Paul's shotgun wound to the chest came first, but we'll do the same with her. But she's got a few more wounds, so it could be a little bit more, require a little bit more logical thinking. Okay, so she had an entrance wound that was right over there. Okay, it's kind of right below the rib cage, not far from the middle of her midline of her body. And that wound, okay, now we're going to remember, you know, this is right and left. It's very easy to get the right-left situation confused. But that's going from front to back and downward, and there was an exit wound kind of like right down here. Okay, so it entered here. Okay, so we're in a kind of downward direction. It was actually 10 inches below where it entered. So it's pretty low. You know, down here was the exit wound. And on the way, that projectile, that bullet, went through the abdominal wall. That's like our muscle and all that. And then once it got inside the body, it went through mesentery, which is the supportive tissues of our intestines. So it went through mesentery, has all the blood vessels and lymphatics, all that stuff that supports our intestines. The intestines take up a lot of room in there. Now it's continuing to go toward the back of her body and through the pancreas, okay, which is kind of toward the back. And then if, as it's traveling left, it went through the left kidney and left iliac artery, which is a blood vessel that is leads off the aorta before exiting the left side of the back.
All right. And let's go ahead. Can we do the second wound, and then we'll talk about both of those together
okay.
in a second if we could.
So we've got two that are basically completely to the front of the body, directly to the front. And the other, there's another wound that's kind of on the front inside of the left thigh, like kind of like over there, okay? And this one is also going from front to back and toward the left and downward. So these two shots follow a parallel path. They're both, so this is the left, okay, left leg, right, left thigh. And the exit wound was in the back of the left thigh. And this is a little bit too high, okay? I should, you know, but it was lower down.
Put that X through the wrong one.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so it's traveling in a downward direction and also with a kind of a slight right to left. So I'm going to draw an arrow to indicate the direction, okay? So that one's going like that. And then this one is also going in the same direction, downward toward the back.
Right. And those, you said, followed kind of a parallel trajectory?
Yes, they had a relatively parallel trajectory. Another feature of each of these wounds is that, remember we talked about gunpowder stippling when somebody is shot at a relatively close range. Well, both of these wounds had gunpowder stippling around them. Okay. All right.
And go ahead and remind the jury what stippling indicates about probable distance from a firearm.
Yeah, so within 3 feet. We don't usually see it any more than 3 feet. Sometimes it's within 2 feet, but depending on the firearm, I can't say exactly, but it's somewhere in that range.
You know? It's a fairly close range of parallel trajectories for these two
right.
wounds.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
And they both exited the left side of the body. One was on the... this is her left leg. It's really easy to get toned around here. Okay, left thigh, and the other's on the left side of the lower back. And the one to the left leg actually just went through. It went through muscle and soft tissue. Didn't actually break a bone.
All right. If those two wounds, let's go ahead and do all the wounds. Can we go to the next next wound that we have? And before we do that, was there a wound to the wrist in this particular instance?
Yes, there was a wound to the wrist, mm-hmm. and it was on the left wrist. Mm-hmm. The entrance wound was somewhere around here. And, okay, so this is her left wrist. And then the exit wound was a little bit higher on the inside of the arm. So this is the kind of the hairy part, this part, and then the inside where there was an exit wound.
All right, and using my left hand, can you kind of point generally to the jury about the location of those?
Yeah, so kind of going in here and out there.
Okay. All right. All right, so that's three gunshot injuries at this point. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Now tell me about the fourth one, if you would.
Okay. So the fourth one was somewhat unusual because it's going in an upward direction through the body. Okay. There was an entrance wound on the underside of the left breast that exited like the top of the left breast. Okay. And from there, we have some marks on, there's like bruising on the left side of the chest up here, the left clavicle, and that bullet continued through the underside of the left side of the face. Okay, so there's a wound kind of like over there, okay, and it's everything is kind of going up. So this was an exit, and then we have like a re-entrance, okay? So we have a series of defects. We have, this is an entrance, an exit, and then the bullet continued through the left side of the face and lower ear area and into her head. Okay, now in addition to
just real quick, those first two wounds that you described, the wound to the abdomen and the wound to the leg, and those were both to the front of the body, is that correct?
Correct.
And they both had a similar parallel trajectory, is that correct?
Yes.
Would those, either one of those wounds have been immediately fatal?
No.
All right. The wound you just described, and how about the wound to the wrist? Would that have been immediately fatal?
No.
What about the wound that you just described that went in near the breast and then went into the head?
Yes, that would have been immediately fatal because when it entered the left side of the face, it basically destroyed the brain.
And was there another gunshot injury, traumatic gunshot injury, aside from that one?
Yes, but I'm going to, before I continue, I did want to mention mm-hmm. that there was an abrasion, kind of a scrape, below that, which indicates below her left breast. So it indicates before it actually went through the left breast, it kind of scraped along the abdomen as it was going upward before it went into her head.
On the injury, the gunshot wound, the assault rifle wound to the abdomen and the assault rifle wound to the leg, you said there was stippling there. Is that correct?
Yes. The other wounds did not have any stippling.
Right.
So they were from further back.
The wrist wound had no stippling?
Correct.
And that wound that you just described going up into Maggie's head, that did not have any stippling either?
Correct.
All right. And you mentioned there's one more as well to her head. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Describe that to the jury using this chart, please, or this diagram.
Okay. So there was an entrance wound to the back of the head, okay, that was kind of like right over there, okay, and it's kind of near the base of her skull, and that was going downward, okay. Now this is automatic rifle, it's a rifle ammunition, so it's not a single, you know, cylindrical projectile that remains intact. These rifles, the projectiles fragment as they go through the body. That's one of the mechanisms by which they do enormous damage. Okay. Now this wound was going in a downward direction, and then we have lots of exit wounds on the right side of her upper back where all of those fragmented projectiles, fragments, exited. And this wound It's in a clearly downward direction. It was. It entered the back of her head, went through the back of the skull, and through the brainstem and cerebellum. Okay, so this is these are vital portions at the very bottom of the brain. But it did not enter into her chest. It continued just scraping along the top of the back. So we know this is going in a downward direction. So how do we reconcile? How do we make sense of a wound that's going upward and then another wound that's going downward? Okay, you'll recall this wound that went through her left breast and into the left side of her face injured her brain, right? She's not going to be standing anymore. Now, how would this even go upward? Okay, that those first two shots, right, the one to her, or we'll say the one to her, at the right side of her abdomen, that went, remember, through her pancreas and the left kidney. Kidney pain is some of very, is usually very painful. We can imagine this did not immediately cause that, but she may have been bent over straight, and that puts her in a position, if someone's bending over, leaning over, to get a gunshot wound that goes along. So when we look at her body in an upright position, and she's got a gunshot wound going upward, we know it's going upward because it ended in her head. Probably her body was bent over, and it may have been that she just sustained this very painful wound to her abdomen, not in addition to her thigh, and she was most likely, in my opinion, bent over or even possibly on the ground, but not completely lying flat, at the time, because then it would never have been able to go through the front, you have some like skin areas here. So if she's bent over, we have some skin folds, we're gonna get a skin, plus it went through the underside of the left breast, exited the top of the left breast, so that would indicate that her breast may have been sort of, like pained down a little bit.
All right, so do you have that dowel stick anywhere? Unless, Wes, if you would, just again, use me if you could to describe some of the concepts you're talking about, and let's start with those first two shots to the abdomen, okay. And then just kind of position me as we move on to the shots.
All right.
There.
So one wound.
Let's sit over here if you
okay.
would.
So absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Well, now I have to kind of I'll have to I can't show this. Yeah, I'm going to show this. The entrance would be about there, right, top of the abdomen, and it went through the body, exiting on the left side of the lower back. Mm-hmm. And while it was in the body, went through the pancreas and the left kidney and a blood vessel nearby.
All right, and then the wound to the thigh?
Okay, the thigh was kind of on the front, but a little bit toward the inside area. And that exited lower down on the left thigh in the back of the left back.
The one to the abdomen, would that have been very painful?
Yes, I mean, kidney, if you ever knew anybody that had a kidney stone, kidney stones are some of the worst pain in medicine. People who aren't get a kidney stone have to get on very high doses of morphine just to control the pain. Well, she had projectiles, ammunition going through her left kidney. We can imagine that was a very painful wound and may have caused her to fold over in pain.
So something like this?
Yes.
Right. And could it even been that she went to the ground and she's on her hands and knees, something like this?
Yes, that's also possible. And she could have had her head bent down or sort of touching the ground at that point as well.
This shot, this one right here that you described right there, is there any way at that point in time she could have been completely prone flat on the ground like this?
No, because then how, it's not just going to go up. So she has to at least have been, can't say for sure, but it makes sense that after receiving those first two shots, she's going to be bent over at least, or possibly, even lower to the ground, enabling her to get a wound. That's perfect. Okay, going through the front of the left side of the chest, and if your head is bent over even further, you can imagine it's going to go into the head like that. Okay, so when I first look at this, I'm like, what? you know, it takes a little, but in retrospect, now that I've made sense of this, it all comes together. So
so far at this point in time, we've talked about the abdomen and the thigh wound. In your opinion, are those two shots the first two shots she suffered?
Yes, I think she was standing upright at the time, and then she only could have gotten the wound to the left side of, you know, through the left side of the front into her head if she's horizontal but not completely on the ground. But after sustaining that wound, okay,
she
could have been down on her hands and knees or just bent over, right? It went into her brain. She's going to fall to the ground completely. And right. That puts her in a position to get the gunshot wound to the back of the head. I can't really, you know, right. You're too far away for that.
Sorry, I'm going to go over here, but show me that last wound.
Okay, so the last wound was going in a downward direction, entered here, and it's kind of, you know, enough to fracture the skull and go through the back of the brain, which is like the brain stem, and then have just a bunch of exit wounds there. So that's that actually is in kind of a downward direction. So we've got something going upward, we have something going downward, and it only makes sense that the one to the left side of the front occurred first, because if she, the one to the back of the head was, she basically just already had injury to the brain sufficient to have killed her. The one to the back of the head that went down was, additional wound, the one to the, that entered the left side of the brain was already sufficient to have killed her.
If she had not suffered this wound right here, the one where she's hunched over her hands and knees, if she had not suffered that one, would this one to the back of the head also been immediately fatal?
Yes, either one of them would have been immediately fatal. That one went through the brain stem and the cerebellum. That those sections of the brain, their whole job is to keep us alive. They keep us breathing and set the cardiac rhythm. And without that, none of us would be here.
But in your opinion, abdomen and thigh is first. This one that went through her breast into her head is after that, and then this one is when she's prone on the ground to the
yes.
back of the head.
Yes, so I do think this isn't something that I, you know, immediately realized, but after thinking about it, how, you know, this is gunshot wounds to one person, how do I make sense of this? And this is the most likely logical sequence of shots that she sustained. I also want to mention, remember we had this wound to the... So we have four we know about, right? We've got right side of the abdomen, left thigh, the left side of the head in the front, through her breast first, and then we have this last wound while she was prone on the ground, okay, to the back of the head. We also have this additional wound to the left wrist, that exited a little bit higher. Now, is it possible that her arm was just somewhere and got shot? Yes. But remember, we know that she must have been in a lot of pain in her abdomen from that shot that went through the abdomen. And if she is bent over, where would her hand likely be? You know, it makes sense she might be bent over with her hand right there. And so, if her hand is bent, she's got her hand on her belly, the wound entering the left wrist could exit there before actually going up. So if she's got her hand on her belly, I don't know if that's actually happened, but that's why I described five individual gunshot wounds, but it could, because the left wrist could have moved, it could have happened before another one of the shots.
And what you just described there with her wrist kind of close to her stomach after suffering that abdominal and thigh wound, that is consistent with the evidence what you just described. Is that correct? That having her hand right there like
yeah, that it would be consistent. I can't say 100% that that's what happened. But, that is a gunshot wound to the left wrist, and it may have been sustained while she had her hand on her abdomen, possibly.
Give me one sec. All right, Dr. Reamer, I'm going to show you some images, and if you could stand back that way just so we can, again, try to protect these as much as we can. These, again, are very graphic, is that correct?
Yes.
And I'm going to show you, if you could, and I'm going to kind of give them to you this way, States 488, 489, 490, 491, double check, 492, 493, 495. And 499. And do you generally recognize those images?
Yes.
Those autopsy photos you took of Maggie Murdoch?
Yes, these are photographs that I took of Maggie Murdoch's wounds.
All right, and would those assist you in explaining these injuries to the jury?
Yes.
All right, Your Honor, at this time, I'd move into evidence. States 488, 489, 490, 491, 492, 493, 495, 498, and 499.
No objection, Your Honor.
You're admitted.
All right. Dr. Reamer, if you could grab the dial stick and come on down here, and I'm going to try to move through these as expeditiously as I can.
Okay.
Starting with 488, tell the jury.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so...
Just stand on this side real quick.
Yeah, so that, got it. Okay, that's good. All right, so this is a photo of her left thigh. Okay, this is the knee area. And we can see this is kind of on the inside area of the front of the left thigh. And we do have the stippling around it, which tells us that it was shot within a certain, like, relatively close range.
And we have the stippling as you've described. Moving on to States 489. What is this right here?
So you can kind of appreciate this is like the curve of her knees. This is the back of the left thigh where we have an exit wound.
Right. Going on now. To States 490, what is this?
Okay, so this is the entrance wound on the right side of the front of the abdomen below the rib cage, close to the midline. And we do have stippling here. It's a little sparser and a little further spread. So that was also close enough, within 3 or so feet, to deposit the stippling, probably a little further back than the one to the left thigh, because there's a closer, there's more tightness of the stippling on the thigh. So if we think of it as kind of going outward, it covers a wider area and is more sparse on the right side of the abdomen.
Right. We're going on to the next one. What is this right here?
Okay, so this is the exit wound to the left side of the lower back.
Just very quickly, you mentioned that there's stippling on both the abdomen and the thigh, but there's a little bit of difference in distance between the two. Is that correct?
Yes, a small amount. You know, there's stippling on both, but the wound to the thigh is a more tighter, you know, more closely packed bunch of stippling and doesn't appear as further away from the actual defect. So that is a little bit closer than to the the barrel of the gun was a little closer to her body than the one to the right side of the abdomen, but both of them were in within 3 feet.
And those were the only two wounds that you observed with stippling of the ones that you've described, is that
yes.
Right? All right. Going on now to this next 492. Tell us what this is, if you would, please.
Okay, so this is a wound to the left wrist, and we can see this is her left thumb, so it's kind of right over there, and it's going through the left wrist, exiting on the soft side of her left forearm.
And moving on now to 493.
Okay.
What does that look like?
Yes. So there it is. That's the exit wound. So she had the entrance wound to the part of her wrist near her thumb, and it's going through the left forearm area, exiting at an angle. Right. You know, it's kind of exiting at an angle. Because this defect is oblong, right? If it's going straight across, we would just have a hole, right? But if something's exiting in an angle, we have more of an oblong exit.
All right. Moving on to the next one, and again, this is graphic,
yeah,
but
sorry,
can you tell me what this is, and I'm going to move the picture down as you describe it, please.
Okay. So here's her belly button, just to give you a reference point. And this was that entrance wound on the right side of the abdomen. This is another injury that kind of abraded the left side of the abdomen before going through her left breast.
And then moving down.
Yeah.
Is that sufficient? I can't really see.
Yeah. So it's fine. Okay, this is a very large destructive hole in the left side of her face, including parts of her left ear, and this makes sense to be a continuation of the one through the left breast. I was confident that this was all the result of a single fired shot, and what we see over here is basically a bruise. It didn't actually go into the left shoulder, but as it's coursing upward through the breast before, it kind of goes, and if she's bent over, then it's going to bruise this clavicle area, right? That's that bone right here, before going into the left side of her lower face.
All right, moving on now, and I'm going to go out of order just a bit. I'm at 499, and can you explain?
All right, I'm having trouble seeing what this. Oh yeah, okay, yeah. So at the time I did the autopsy, and I have a wound to the left wrist and through the forearm, and a wound that's going along the left side of the abdomen. I can't be certain, I can't say with an absolute certainty that her hand was up against her abdomen at the time that the gunshot wound to her torso was going upward. But if her hand was on her abdomen, which she may have had there after getting shot through the abdomen and bending over, this would be a perfect line through the, through the wrist, out the left forearm and continuing in an upward direction before fatally entering the left side of her head.
Is that an explanation for how the wrist and that gunshot could be related?
So I took a photo of the wrist and the scrape along the left side of her abdomen together because it occurred to me, based on my experience over decades, that this may have represented a single inflicted shot. Maybe the one to the wrist was a separate shot. And in my autopsy report, I described it as separate because unless I'm absolutely certain that it's from the same shot, I'm going to describe them separate. But I'm able to tell you, so we have four wounds to the body, and it may, five wounds, but if we count the left wrist as separate, but if the left wrist was connected to the other one, to one of the others, then it's there's only four shots to the body.
And then finally, states 498.
Okay, so this is also a very ugly shot. And this is the back of her head. And what I, is a routine matter. She had hair there, but it wasn't apparent what kind of a wound she had back there. There was blood, but I'll shave, cut away the hair and to display the entrance wound. And you can see how long it is. It's long. It's not just a hole going from back to front. It's going in a downward direction like that. And this ammunition breaks up into fragments, and we have like these fragments basically coursing along the top of her back, going through the skin and the like fatty tissue beneath in her upper back. So, and this one, before it actually hit the back, it went through the skull at the back right side of the back of her head, as well as the brain stem and cerebellum. All
right. Thank you, Dr. Reamer. We're almost done. If you could have a seat real quick, and we will conclude the examination. So at this time, I would move in to evidence states 501, which is the diagram that Dr. Reamer did of the injuries to Maggie.
Defense.
No objection.
They are admitted.
Dr. Reamer, you mentioned that there was a slight difference or a difference in the stippling between the abdominal and the thigh wound, and which one had seemed to be a little bit farther away according to your review of the evidence?
Yes, the gunshot wound to the abdomen was slightly further away than the gunshot wound to the left thigh.
And that could be consistent with Maggie and the shooter changing their positions in relationship to one another.
Yeah, people aren't completely just standing still. It could be that the shooter was moving closer toward her or moving a little bit back at this, or she could have been moving, or a combination of the two. So I don't know what happened there, but I do know that the barrel of the gun was closer at the time it struck her left thigh, because the stippling is more tight concentrically and doesn't cover as wide an area as the one to the right side of the abdomen.
You've described the injuries to the front, and then the injury to the breast and to the head, and then the spinal injury to the back of the head. Could that be consistent with the shooter circling his victim?
Yeah, I think that only makes sense if there's some movement on the part of the shooter. We know the gunshot wound to the front of the body that's going up. If Maggie was bent over, either in air or on the ground, the shot would have been fired from behind her, right? From behind her, that's the only way it's going to go up and through the base of the chin area into her head, right? She's bent over. That's the way that it logically makes sense. Nobody's sitting on the floor, and you couldn't do that. and after that shot was sustained, the one that went through the front side, the vertical one, okay, it's vertical through her body, but most likely occurred while she was bent over, or then that's going to be an incapacitating shot because it went through her brain and caused her to fall to the ground. She's bent over, she gets that shot, she's going to fall face down, and then the last shot to the back of her head is going in the other direction. So that's going downward. So we have one going, so that only can occur if the wound to the left side of the front is somebody shooting from behind her, and then the gunshot wound to the back of the head is going downward while she's on the ground, indicating somebody's standing at the top of her.
Was there a lot of blood accumulated in Maggie's abdomen?
Not that much. The thing about these wounds is there's so much tissue destruction that blood is just basically in all the tissues. So it's not like sometimes with even a small caliber bullet, there's a single clearly defined wound path, and I can take out blood from the abdomen. But in this case, there was so much tissue destruction. There was a lot of blood in the soft tissues, but not necessarily something I can scoop out and measure.
Did the lack of a lot of blood, though, in the abdomen tell you anything about how rapidly these all occurred together?
So if the wound stopped there to the abdomen and somebody walked away, you know, she would have had more bleeding out of those tissues into the abdominal cavity.
Did in both Maggie and Paul, did you make any observations about their stomach contents?
Yes. So part of the autopsy, I'm not just looking at the wounds. I'm examining all of the internal organs. And this is how I knew it went through the pancreas and the kidney, because remember, I'm not just looking outside of the body. I have to do everything, look at all of the internal organs and dissect each one. When examining the stomach, I will document the contents of the stomach, and they each had a lot of recently digested food fragments. So, you know, they had a full stomach of food.
Were those stomach contents consistent with one another?
Yeah, they looked identical to each other. They were kind of gray tan, you know, couldn't tell exactly what it was, but it may have included meat. I didn't see any corn or, you know, green beans or anything like that. But whatever it was, they were identical to each other. And I believe she had 600 mLs, which is 450 mLs is a pound, so it's like almost 1.5 pounds of food, and he had 500 mLs, which is a little bit more than a pound. But they looked similar, like they may have shared a meal together.
You testified that there was no defensive wounds on Paul. Did you observe any defensive wounds on Maggie?
No, nothing that would indicate any kind of a defensive wound.
Did you observe any damage to her fingernails or anything that indicated that she had been in a fight with her attacker?
No. That's also part of the autopsy. I'm, in addition to collecting clippings from the fingernails, I look carefully to see sometimes there's a fingernail broken, sometimes there's obvious tissue or blood underneath fingernails, and she didn't have any evidence of, material visually evident underneath her fingernails.
What about her toxicology? Did she have anything in her system? Any drugs or alcohol?
She had caffeine only, the same as Paul, and no other alcohol, no alcohol or other drugs other than caffeine.
Dr. Reamer, in your professional expert opinion, what was the cause of death to a reasonable degree of medical certainty for Paul Murdoch?
For Paul Murdoch, shotgun wounds. Let me see what exactly I said. I said shotgun wounds to head and chest. Wounds of head and chest.
And what was the manner of death?
Manner of death is homicide, which means death at the hands of another.
And Dr. Reamer, in your expert opinion, what was, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, the cause of death for Maggie Murdoch?
Maggie Murdoch died of multiple gunshot wounds.
And what was the manner of death?
Manner of death is homicide, death at the hands of another.
Death at the hands of another. One final question. Did you recover any fragments from Maggie Murdoch during your autopsy?
Yes. So this kind of ammunition breaks up into fragments. That's the nature of that ammunition, and so I recovered multiple fragments of projectiles.
Now I'm going to show you what's been admitted into evidence as Stakes 112, and do you recognize that?
Yes. So those are fragments I've recovered from Maggie's autopsy.
Thank you, Dr. Reamer. Nothing further, Your Honor.
Cross-examination.
You're not going to have an extensive cross-examination. You want to begin that tonight or first thing in the morning?
You want to begin it in the morning?
I think so. I mean, it's 5:45. It could go easily to 7, and I don't think the jury would at this point like to stay here. I don't. But
all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will recess for the evening and start at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Please do not discuss the case. And doctor, you may step down. Please do not discuss your testimony with anyone. If everyone will be seated. As we anticipate other witnesses tomorrow, are there any matters that the court needs to consider overnight regarding any matters of controversy or in controversy or outstanding issues regarding any witness?
Shockingly, no, Your Honor. Not on part of the defense.
Not on part of the state. The new information from GM we addressed this morning, and obviously the defense has that, and both sides are analyzing that, but I'm not, aside from that right now, I'm not aware of any specific issues the court needs to address.
The only query I will have, because we're again trying to arrange for people to fly in, and Monday is not going to be a court day, is does the Attorney General have any prognostication on when he might finish his case? I think with the GM material, it will affect it somewhat. I just don't know how much.
Your Honor, we're still on target for Wednesday. That GM material is just confirmatory of the timeline that both sides have had, and it's being incorporated into testimony. We have a custodian coming, which I don't imagine would be an extensive witness. We're still on target for Wednesday, Your Honor.
Okay, we'll be in recess at 9:30.
That wraps up segment number 5 of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murtaugh. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of the breaking updates and discussions on the case as we have them. You can get a commercial-free experience when you subscribe through Apple Podcasts to our premium account with True Crime Today. There you'll get access to all of our programs ad-free. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com. Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.